Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all the flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. One scripture, please, in the 23rd Proverb. Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my way. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his own precious word. Someone as well said that he that would be holy will read the Psalm. He that will be wise will read the Proverbs. Over the 26 years that has come and gone since God saved me, I have enjoyed making it a practice to go through the Proverbs each month, 31 Proverbs, and there's really wisdom, there's help that's to be found in the reading of the Proverbs that will help us for the day-by-day life that we have to face as we travel this wilderness sea. My thoughts have mainly been on verse 23 of the 4th Proverb. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I want to think a little bit of the issues of life. Linked with the issues of life is the heart. When it comes to the physical condition of man, the heart is at the core of it all. When the heart is poor, when the heart is not functioning properly, it affects the whole being, it affects the whole life. When it comes to the spiritual aspect, the heart is at the core of the whole thing. That's why the wise preacher says, keep thy heart with all diligence. The force of this word is really this. If there's anything that you need to guard, if there's anything that you need to garrison, to set a guard about, it's the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. The heart has been looked at as the fountain. And the issues of life is the streams that flow out from the fountain. And only what's within can come out. That's why I need to guard the heart, what goes in. I've been thinking about this verse quite a little. We had meetings recently in a place, I'll not mention the name, but four young couples in that assembly, their marriage has dissolved. Didn't start overnight. It started with hearts that wasn't kept. It started with avenues, streams that flow into a heart that wasn't guarded. The sad part of it, there's little children that are involved. There's the hearts of the believers that are involved. My, as I thought upon that, the far-reaching effects of hearts that are not guarded. Am I speaking to a young believer here today, and you're not guarding the avenues to the seat of affection? You're being careless. Is perhaps in that office that you're working at, There's some man that's showing you some attention, dear sister. The heart is not guarded. It might be in the school, and the heart is not guarded. Keep thy heart with all diligence. We have really two avenues mentioned here in the verses 20, 21, and 22. I think these three verses shows us what's going in, and the following verses show us what's coming out. He says, my son, attend to my work. We've already been hearing in connection with the family altar. But in that private life of yours, is the Word of God having its place? Are you reading the Scriptures? Are you attending to His Word? Are you studying the Bible? Paul could say to his young son Timothy in the faith, give thyself to reading. A young brother was telling me the other day that he was talking to one of the older servants of the Lord, and he said, I read in my mind, he intended to kind of pick his brain a little bit and get some secrets from him, how that he reached the place that he is and knows what he knows and has the confidence of God's people like he has. And the older brother said, yes, I can give you the truth. And he said, I sat back, expecting to hear quite a lengthy description and a way how to arrive at the same place as he did. And here's what he told them. Give thyself to reading. That's all he said. Keep reading. Keep reading. Is the Word of God having its place in your life? Are you taking time day by day so that there might flow into that fountain that which will preserve, that which the Spirit of God is going to be able to use? That's the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God that's there in the heart. And then he says in verse 20, incline thy ear unto my saying. Is there an open ear? The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That's a mark of a true sheep. The Word of God is able to find its entrance into the ear. You know, it's one thing to come to a conference like this and listen to ministry, but does that get in? Do you hear? Does it get into the fountain? Is it allowed to get into the heart? In verse 21 he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. The avenues to the heart, the ear, what we hear, the eye, what we watch. Now, I really doubt in my mind if there's a TV in that home that you can be spiritual. Are we really guarding what's going into the heart? I read somewhere that the average individual spends 17 years of his life in front of a TV set. That's almost uncomparable. Spending that much time in front of the devil's tool that's affecting the heart. Guarding the eyes. And then he says, keep them in the midst of thy heart. Guard, keep the word, allow it to have its effectual work in the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it, it's coming out what has gone in. You're not long in the presence of someone until you know what's been going in. Dear young brethren, I hope that you spend time around the Word of God. Hours are spent over the books in the universities, in the schools, and rightly so, as long as it's kept in its place. But is there time for the Word of God to get in? You find it easier to stand out and talk about the latest model of cars? Brother Archie Stewart used to say, some Christians know more what's on the cornflake box than they do what's in the Bible. Now, we knew what he meant. The beginning of the day, they're reading what's on the cereal box. What are you reading at the beginning of the day? What's going into the heart? Set a guard at it. Guard thy heart. Guard the seat of affections. Because dear young believer, your life as a life that can be useful for God and His service. The devil hates God. While the devil cannot get at God directly, perhaps, he'll try through the avenue of the child of God to trip up the believer, to start that heart a-lifting, to start that heart going out after something that's going to affect it in an adverse way. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for because out of it flows the issues of life. I mentioned that in the following verses, verses 24, 25, and 26, we have the issues of life coming out, what's in the heart coming out. He says in verse 24, put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, that every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in that day. Are you guarding the words that come out? You know, if your heart's light, if you're occupied with the man who has won the heart, if you're occupied with the man whose heart went out to sinners at the cross, if we're occupied with him, it'll grieve us if we're listening to something that's going to be against a fellow believer. I hope to say the phone rings at times when someone has a fall or for when someone says something, and it's gone nationwide before it's hardly the truth is on its feet. Are we guarding our lips? Setting a guard at the door of the lips? Making sure that that word isn't going to be spoken that's going to grieve the Spirit of God, that's going to affect the heart. Guarding our lips because of the place that we have come to and been attracted to because of the person that's there. Many a problem in the assembly would have been bypassed if there had been a guard set at the door of the lips. The heart had been done. Affection in the right place. But then he says in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. Watch your eyes. I like to look at this as the thought of meditation. What we meditate upon. You know, that's kind of a lost art these days. Meditation. Are we meditating upon the scriptures? Are we meditating upon the Word of God that the Spirit of God has brought before us, that little word that has sunk into our heart? Are you meditating upon it? David, that day when he looked over, there was Beersheba. Did he guard the eyes? He had them. He would have saved him from a life of grief. He would have saved him from tears. It would have saved him from wrinkles upon the brow. Many a tear David shed. God would have us to be far-sighted. So easy to become short-sighted. And the heart isn't guarded. And we just look for the little excitement now, and all the excitement is in the anticipation of it. And afterwards there's sorrow. The long-range view of it. How is it going to affect my testimony? How is it going to affect the man that I represent? How is it going to affect that assembly that I enjoy fellowship and part of 7 days a week? My testimony is having an effect upon the testimony collectively. Then he says in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Ponder the path of the feet. The walk of the believer. It illustrates that it shows the whole tenor of the life. My walk. Is my walk a loving walk to others? Am I walking worthy of the calling wherewith I've been called? As we think, we've heard a little of that today. As we think of the calling wherewith we were called, Paul, as he writes to the Ephesian believers in the first three chapters, he brings it before them so vividly, the place that they have in Christ, and the blessings that are there to enjoy, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And he says, walk it out. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. Is that walk a circumspect walk? Am I guardingly picking each step? Dear young brother, as you're seeking employment, is this before you? It's going to affect my life. As you're picking or choosing a partner for life, dear young brother, dear young sister, is she going to be a benefit spiritually? Is he going to be a benefit to you spiritually? Is it in the Lord? Is there that common mutual desires for the things of God? Many a young brother, his life has been spoiled because of carelessness this way. Many a young sister, her life has been robbed and spoiled because of carelessness this way. Guard thy heart with all guidance, for out of it are the issues of life. I read lastly in Proverbs 23 and verse 26. He says, my son, give me thine heart. Many would like to make it up with their money. They would like to make it up with their time. But listen, all that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have a heart. My son, give me thine heart. That's what he wants. He wants your heart, dear brother, dear sister. He wants your affection. And why shouldn't he? As we think of the one who so loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, my such love. Should it not draw out our affections today as we think of all that we have in him? We've been hearing of the coming of the Lord Jesus, and in view of his near return, it may be today, before we ever meet in the cafeteria to enjoy the blessings that hands us to tell, they may have gathered into his glad and glorious presence. I visited with a sister not too long ago. And we go to visit older believers to try to encourage them, but oftentimes it's just the opposite. They encourage us more than we're able to encourage them. And she told me, she said, I'm not able to get out to the assembly. I'm not able to get out to the meeting, but my heart is there. And I think when 10 o'clock comes, I can just picture each believer around the circle, and I'm praying for each one. Nice to be able to pray for each one in the assembly. But she said, I was thinking as I was sitting here, and I knew that they were remembering the Lord there, that I thought to myself, I wonder what that first second's going to be like. Trying to visualize it in her little mind. What will that first second be like when we stand in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You see the one that was willing to have his hands and feet pierced, allowed man to sit upon him, allowed man to pluck those hairs from his cheeks. What does he say to us today? He says, my son, give me thine heart. Are we willing to give him our heart? If I'm willing to give him my heart, he'll have my all, and I'll be able to say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, and let them flow in ceaseless praise. Keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. My son, give me thine heart.